Hey, we want to tell you about a ministry that's really close to our hearts. Global Christian Relief. Around the world, our brothers and sisters are risking everything for Jesus, and often they're unseen and unheard. GCR exists to remind us that we're one church, one family, and that no believer should stand alone. They come alongside persecuted Christians with prayer, Bibles, and this is the thing, real help. Food, shelter, trauma care, so the church can endure and shine as a light for the gospel. When you give, you're not supporting a cause, you're standing with family. Hey, we want to tell you about a ministry that's really close to our hearts, Global Christian Relief. Around the world, our brothers and sisters are risking everything for Jesus, and often they're unseen and unheard. GCR exists to remind us that we're one church, one family, and that no believer should stand alone. They come alongside persecuted Christians with prayer, Bibles, and this is the thing, real help. Food, shelter, trauma care, so the church can endure and shine as a light for the gospel. When you give, you're not supporting a cause, you're standing with family. In this week's episode of Between Sundays, Lauren and I talk about friendships, what they look like, how to grow in them, how to navigate vulnerability, what the scriptures say about this, and how you might grow in your friendship with others. Well, welcome to Between Sundays.
Yep.
Between Sundays.
With the Chandlers.
With the Chandlers. There's the tagline, with the Chandlers.
That's right.
Hey, I think when we do this, I want to kind of out you a little bit from time to time. There are things that I think are wonderful that people don't know about you.
Mm.
One that I think would be really surprising to people is Lauren Chandler absolutely loves her. A good dad joke, like the kind that make your kids roll their eyes and want to move out.
Even better.
Way before.
Those are the best. You
have a good one this week. Why don't you give us a dad joke of the week?
I mean, did you hear about the experiment that they just did? Did y'all hear about this? Okay, so they crossed a cheetah with a crab. Went bad. Oh!
Oh, you ruined
dang
it!
Dang it!
Lauren.
It went sideways. Fast.
There it is.
Shoot.
So
you put me on the spot.
I'm gonna break the third wall here. Like for the record, Bema C, presence of Christ. I said to her before we started rolling, I'm gonna set you up for your dad joke. I'm gonna set you up for your dad joke. So I didn't spring it on.
And then
you.
I got in my head and I was like, okay, I gotta deliver it right. And I was like, don't get in your head because then you're not gonna deliver it right. And then when you put me on this, and then when you did it, I was like, oh shoot. What does it say?
So just for the record, let's do it again.
Okay, let's do it again. So did y'all hear about the experiment where they crossed a cheetah with a crab?
It's like genetic splicing.
Yeah.
What happened?
It went sideways fast.
Because it's a cheetah and a crab. See what I'm saying?
And it went bad.
Brilliant. That's brilliant. It's brilliant. Hey, from time to time, not every episode, but certain episodes, we're going to dive into like what I'm preaching and teaching on. And so right now, we're in a series called At the Table. It's a series about belonging and connection. In 2023, I don't know who to look at. Am I looking at you? Am I looking at the camera? Guys? Camera. Okay, I'm going to look at this camera. In 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General rolled out like another Surgeon General warning, like they used to be on packs of cigarettes. I mean, still on packs of cigarettes. But this Surgeon General warning was about loneliness. He literally called loneliness an epidemic. And I loved this quote. This quote from that was that if we fail to develop advanced social connection, we will pay an ever-increasing price in the form of our individual and collective health and well-being. And we will continue to splinter and divide until we can no longer stand as a community or a country. Instead of coming together to take on the great challenges before us, we will further retreat to our corners. Listen to this: angry, sick, and alone. And I thought that was telling, because I think if you're looking at most of the data on lived experience in this current high-tech, super fast-paced reality, this is what we are. We are angry, sick, and alone. And that's not God's big plan for us. It's not God's desire for us. He desires connection, belonging, even built us biologically for it. Like the neurology and the biology that goes into being seen, being known, being empathized with is profound for physical health as well as mental and emotional health. And so it's a short series, 3 weeks, started it this past weekend with a people. We're called to people.
Yeah.
And so that's what week one was on.
I really loved it. I thought it was a great message. And I think part of the reason I loved it was that while I've had really powerful times with the Lord, just Him and me, the most impactful, lasting, transformational times in my life have all been in community.
Yeah.
It's been with a Bible study small group that I was in for 10 years. It was, you know, when I was in recovery and with going through steps and with a group of women that I didn't even really know, but that were going through some things I was being vulnerable with. I think that has marked me more than just the Jesus and me times.
Yeah.
Those have been powerful and you can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
But the transformation that has really lasted has happened in community with people. And so I think it's something that we can't get tired of hearing.
Yeah.
And you did a really good job. In fact,
thank you.
My mom, she was there at the 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's when they go. And she called me Sunday and was like, is YouTube working for you? I can't get it to work. I was like, well, let me check it. I was going to the 11:15. It was like 9 a.m. And I was like, I thought you went last night. And she said, I did, but it was so good. I want to listen
again.
Come
on, Mimi.
You got the Linda Walker seal of approval.
Come on, doubled it up.
But it was great for many reasons.
Why do you think, like anytime I teach on these kinds of things or post on these kinds of things, or I think back to even, you know, me, Josh, and Trevor did the King's Table episode of Overcomers. And man, just the sheer volume of people going, man, I need that. How do I get that? Where do I find that?
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about, like, I know in your own journey, like here's what we can say with all integrity. We have had deep, meaningful friendships with the same group of people for almost 20 years, if not for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, if you think back on even your own journey of belonging, connection, especially if I'm thinking Rachel and Natalie and Carrie and Mari, how are those formed? How does that, like if they're watching this right now, they go to church, they're maybe in a home group, but this kind of belonging, vulnerable, being known, seems to, they can't seem to find it. What counsel would you give them?
I mean, it is hard to find, but not impossible. Yeah. And while those friendships that you've listed are a gift, they involved risk and mutual risk. I think for someone that's watching, it will take some vulnerability on your part and like steps of vulnerability where you entrust some things, some information to people, like things that are like not too deep, you know, that you can kind of like, okay, can you carry
this?
Can
you hold this?
Can you hold this? And that really, it's kind of a test. That you do have to enter vulnerably.
Yeah.
And I would say, because it's like I say that, but then I also know some people can be like, well, you didn't take care of it. I'm going to take my ball home and, you know, go take my ball and go home. It really requires you to be vulnerable with the Lord to make sure that your identity and security and reputation are in Him and Him alone. And that's hard because there can be times you entrust yourself to other people and they could say something to someone about you that could hurt you. But it's like, so this is where it's kind of like a double-edged sword. But if you are truly in Christ and secure in him, even if some of your stuff gets out that you're like, gosh, I really wish that hadn't gotten out.
Yeah.
You know, you still are like, but I trust God and his reputation.
Yeah.
And my reputation in him. So that's kind of, so I'm kind of in my head trying to answer this because on one sense, it does take risk and vulnerability and you don't want to be unwise. On the other, it might be a little scary, and but it's worth the risk.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I love that language.
Yeah.
It's worth the risk.
Yeah.
I think a helpful standard for you if you're watching this is the Proverbs gives us this category of the fool. And then there's all these warnings in the Proverbs to avoid the fool. If I like Proverbs 13:20, the one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. And so like the Bible is just really clear here that you don't want to, that betrayal can happen even with some other wise people.
Yes.
Accidentally.
Right.
There's all sorts of ways it could go sideways. Right. But you never want to trust yourself vulnerably to a fool.
Right.
Great harm befalls.
How would you describe a fool?
I think if you have a relationship with another person and they always are critical of and criticizing everybody else, you just need to go, I'm probably on that list.
That's
when I'm
true.
Not here.
Yeah.
So if
eventually.
So that to me is always, what do the kids say? Red flag. It's just a red flag for me now.
Mm-hmm.
If you, like even this one, which I always kind of giggle about, if someone is new to the church and they come up to me, you know, after service or out in the community and they thank me for my teaching and tell me how they weren't fed at their last church and begin to talk disparagingly about the church they were coming from. I just always mentally put them on the clock.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just thinking they will eventually be saying this about me.
Mm.
And so I'm not going to trust myself to someone who's always negative and critical about everybody else around me.
That's good.
And then I want to operate by the rule, whether it be staff or friends, I never want to say anything about them that I haven't said to them.
Yeah.
And so I have a ton of respect for people who operate that same way. I feel like I can trust this person if this is the way they operate.
Yeah.
So even if what I see happening is someone sharing with me something about another, but they'll caveat that with I'm not saying anything to you that I haven't said to them.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me perk up a little bit in my head. Another thing that I think marks the fool, and again, this is another proverb. This is Proverbs 22, 24 through 25, but because it's wisdom literature, I think it doesn't just have to do with anger. So that text says, don't make friends with an angry person and don't be a companion of the hot-tempered one, or you will learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare.
Yeah.
So there's this warning that when I'm picking my closest friends, when I'm deciding who I'm going to run with, who my guys are, who your ladies are, that there needs to be this awareness that I am going to become like them.
Yeah.
They are going to become like me. And so part of what you have to decide, and it is a process. You're not deciding this like in one dinner or at one home group gathering, but is this a person I want to become like?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just some aspect of their personhood. Man, they are really good at prayer. I'm not a really good praying person. I want to move towards, I want them with me so I can learn that. I think I can bring this into the relationship. And so, but if someone's angry or cynical or lustful or slothful or any of the markers of the fool in Proverbs, those aren't my people.
Yeah.
Those are not. Now, that might be ministry. That might be discipleship oriented. But that's not who I'm running. That's not who I'm giving my heart to.
Yeah.
That idea of vulnerability is, I'm not, it's not, I'm just going to put my shield down. It's like, I'm going to hand you my sword.
Yeah.
Like, that's what vulnerability is. You could hurt me with this. I'm believing that you won't.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm not giving that to a fool. But I will give it to someone who is wise or are moving towards wisdom would be maybe a better way to say it.
Yeah, because I've also heard, you know, in Proverbs, there's the fool, the simpleton, and the wise person. Where would you put kind of the simple person?
Yeah, I think a simpleton would have some of the aspects of fool, but when confronted, repents and grows.
Yeah, I can see that.
So the simpleton just doesn't know.
Maybe and immaturity.
So, that's right. There's a little bit of immaturity there. And this gives you an opportunity, if you're new to this, to grow with them, but it requires you to have the courage to say, hey, this is not information. This is you and me.
Yeah.
This is you, me, and my wife. This is you, me, and my husband. This is not, I am intentionally keeping the circle very small, and I'm going to ask you to do it. And I would even argue that in the beginning of these things, you need to make explicit those things, not trusting that everybody can read the room like that.
Right, that's good.
So even if you're like, I think this person's wise, he has said the things, she has said the things that I'm looking for, they've got a good track record, I will still say at times to my guys, hey, this is, it's not necessarily a secret, but it is sensitive, which is me saying, hey, this is not for public consumption. And these are guys I've been with for decades. Yeah. And I'll still put the caveat on.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm. This is not. This is sensitive information.
Yeah. We do that to you and my friendships. So. Yeah.
Hey, friends. Quick pause to share about a ministry we deeply believe in: Global Christian Relief. Across more than 30 countries, places like Nigeria, Iran, India, and North Korea, our Christian family is facing real persecution for following Jesus. Global Christian Relief exists to close the distance between us and them. They invite us into real stories like names, faces, faith, so no Christian is isolated or forgotten. Through prayer and generosity, GCR provides emergency relief like food, shelter, and medicine. They rebuild churches and homes. They even offer trauma counseling and get scripture into the hands of believers who are hungry for God's word. When you join Global Christian Relief, you're not just giving to a cause, you're standing with family. And as you step into their stories, their courageous faith will strengthen yours. Hey friends, quick pause to share about a ministry we deeply believe in: Global Christian Relief. Across more than 30 countries, places like Nigeria, Iran, India, and North Korea, our Christian family is facing real persecution for following Jesus. Global Christian Relief exists to close the distance between us and them. They invite us into real stories like names, faces, faith, so no Christian is isolated or forgotten. Through prayer and generosity, GCR provides emergency relief like food, shelter, and medicine. They rebuild churches and homes. They even offer trauma counseling and get scripture into the hands of believers who are hungry for God's word. When you join Global Christian Relief, you're not just giving to a cause, you're standing with family. And as you step into their stories, their courageous faith will strengthen yours.
Do you think too, I've discovered when I have, so one of my, the hardest things for me to do is to, if I am hurt or like there's a confrontation, that's just like the last thing I want to do. If you're, I like to, let's just keep the peace. Everything's great. But when I get the courage to do that, I can know where I stand with a person if I feel understood by them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think that's...
And so it's like they fill in the blanks positively and they give me the benefit of the doubt. And I think when you find people like that, you're finding someone that is willing to go deep with you and that is safe for you to go deep with.
Yeah. Well, that what you're reminding me of is what happens to people who operate in what I don't think sociologists call belonging deficit. Mm. So just like you can have a sleep deficit or nutritional deficit, social scientists are saying you can have a belonging deficit. And what the belonging deficit makes you do is be hyper vigilant about exclusion, judgment, and so you will totally read the social cues wrongly. Mm-hmm. You will see judgment where there is no judgment. You will see rejection where there is no rejection. Yeah. This is a belonging deficit. And so it reminded me of a conversation I had with a young woman who, she didn't go to the village, but her experience at church was these people would be like, hey, how are you? How's work going? How's your marriage going? How are things in this? How are things in that? And and her response was like, they don't know me like that. And then she was complaining to me, like, why are they asking me about? They don't know me like that. And I'm like, well, okay. Do you see, this is what this is, reading the social cues wrong.
Yeah.
They're not trying to judge you. They are trying to get to know you. How can you get to know someone without asking questions? But such a powerful belonging deficit was there that everything's being read. All the social cues are being read as judgment. They're looking for a reason to reject me. They're looking for a reason to, you know, exclude me. Yeah. And what you're highlighting is someone who's not doing that. They're giving all the benefit of the doubt, which I think is absolutely necessary if we're going to really connect and belong.
Yeah, I think so.
So that to me, that was the aha moment for me on why so many people are disconnected and why so many people have these really terrible stories of rejection. And I'm wondering how much of it's belonging deficit and not ultimately tied to reality. I'm not saying there's not significant and real.
Right.
People hurt. I don't want to call it church hurt.
Right.
I want to call it people hurt. I think sinners are trying to do life and there are all these commands. I mean, the Bible says tolerate one another.
Yeah.
I always giggle at that. The New Testament, like, how low is the bar? You're going to have to tolerate him. He's your brother. She's your sister.
Yeah.
Like, tolerate that person.
Yeah.
Love them, forgive them, greet them, encourage them, pray for them, build them up, walk with them, all the one another's. But one of those one another's is, you're going to have to tolerate this guy.
Yeah.
Which I think's a beautiful little kind of encouragement to push back maybe the belonging deficit cues that we're reading wrongly. Like, what if I give this person the benefit of the doubt?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think too, a lot of times there is real hurt.
Yeah.
And so there needs to be real healing. And it seems to me in scripture, a lot of healing happens in community, or at least with other people.
Yeah.
If I look like at James, where it says, is anyone of you sick? You know, gather the elders and pray over them, like physical healing. And then I think even just emotional, spiritual healing. I think even just psychologically, neurologically, they've shown that it happens in the presence
to heal.
Of people.
That's right.
And so, you know, just a little like microcosm of an example of that. My life has been with my sweet mom, who I love. But, you know, when you, a mother-daughter relationship can be hard. She is one of my closest friends and I love her dearly. But there would be some things she would bring to me that I would be defensive about at first.
Yeah.
And then as I started to like grow and mature and heal and just not anything with her in particular, but just as a person, like becoming more secure, becoming less defensive, I saw, oh, this is my mom. This is how she loves me. This is how she cares for me. She's got to tell me, you know, be careful, this, this, and this. This is just me loving you. And I'm like, that's what's happening here. She's not trying to like harm me or, you know, it is coming from a place of she truly desires to help me to, she wants good for me. And so I can see that now where before I was just defensive. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of times, if we have that belonging deficit, it's just a matter of having the courage to heal and healing in a place with another person.
Yeah, that's good. One of the things I I really pressed on in the sermon mm-hmm. this weekend. I think I could make the argument biblically. You could also make the argument sociologically, psychologically. Like you are becoming like your three closest friends.
Yeah.
If you don't have three friends, then you're becoming like your two closest friends.
Yeah.
Like this is the argument that the Solomon makes in Proverbs. This is what we found in research.
Mm-hmm.
Your friendships are not in a vacuum. You are becoming like each other. And so with that said, I pushed fairly hard
mm-hmm.
that your closest friends might even reveal to you what you actually value most.
Yeah.
That you can say, this is what I value most, but if your closest friends don't value that at all, then you are at least, and this is the least worst thing,
yeah.
being pulled off of what you say you value most. And so if I could just make that explicit, if you're saying Jesus and his kingdom are what I want my whole life to be about, but your closest friends are more about material gain or cynical chirping, then you're sabotaging one of two things. You're either sabotaging that real desire, or that's actually not what you desire at all.
Mm, yeah.
And I know that I wasn't trying to make that land harshly, but I just don't know how else you interpret that decision to say, this is my greatest value, these are my friends, this value and these friends aren't in the same mm-hmm. universe. So what do you do with that? You either don't actually value this, right?
That's revealing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Or you're asleep at the yeah. wheel for where your life trajectory is headed.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. When it comes to you and your crew,
mm-hmm.
I would love to hear about kind of the dynamics of your, like, distill it to the smallest form. Like, okay. That's why when I sat down, I have a little bit bigger of a circle than I sat down with, but my two guys are Trevor and Josh.
Yeah.
Like, day of war, everything's on fire. Those are my guys.
Yeah.
They would be the first to get here. They'd be the first to hop on a plane and meet me somewhere. They'd be the first, you know, those are my two guys.
Mm-hmm.
I have a whole episode of us talking about growing into that and what that looks like and how we worked through that in different seasons. I'd love for you to chat a little bit about, as a woman, how you've developed that specifically with Rachel and Natalie. That's how I would distill you.
Who are married to Trevor
That's right.
and Josh.
Which, how fun is that?
Yeah, Trevor so and Rachel and then Josh and Natalie.
We could probably talk about how unique that is.
Yeah, it's pretty it's unique. I am grateful for it. I don't think... my advice would not be, hey, look for couples that you're going to get along with and go deep with, because you might go deep with both, but you might not. It's not where it's
I think
not,
that's the story of our 30s, though, wasn't it? Our late 20s, early 30s, where you had good friends and I had good friends.
But they weren't together. Yeah. And so I'm not saying don't give up on that, but also it doesn't always happen that way. It just happened to happen, but don't give up. I do want to say that.
Yeah.
You know, those relationships have been forged since our mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
Natalie a little bit longer, Rachel and Trevor came on staff. That's another thing I do want to say is I hear so often, you know, don't have friends on staff at your church. That's not been true for us.
Yeah, we reject
and I think
that.
You do, you set the temperature, you set the culture. If you can, it doesn't always work out. I've got dear friends who were deeply betrayed by people that were on staff that were their good friends. However, I don't think that means that you don't try.
Yeah.
And so I'm super grateful for that. It was forged over time and through different seasons, and every season looked different, but it was always built on one. We are going for a vibrant relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
That's it. We want to live a life that pleases him, that's about him, that's about his kingdom, that's about spurring one another to look more and more like Jesus
yeah.
and to know who we are in Christ and to be following hard after him in the season he's given us. That's gone from being moms with little babies and little kids and just trying to be faithful in the little years to stewarding the ministries God's given us, stewarding the gifts he's given us, identifying that in each other and like fanning the flame, being what we would call dream defenders for one another and encouragers.
I love that phrase.
Yeah, I believe this. That was Jen Jett.
Yeah.
Dream defender. And so it hadn't always been, you know, you've got a book coming out soon, Becoming Like Jesus, but it's not always up and to the right.
Yeah.
It's more like, you know, like this, yeah, where you got the ups and downs and, but you're still moving forward. And so that's how it's been with these friends. And then I'd say there are two more, I have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to relationships, but it hadn't always been that way. No.
And it's been hard won.
It has been hard won. And so, yeah, it's been ups and downs and having really good, hard conversations where we give each other the benefit of the doubt. We know each other is for one another. Yeah. So if we're filling in blanks, it's not negatively.
Yeah.
Like if there's just a, when I say filling in blanks, like just maybe there's a gap in what I know to be true and what's actually happening, mm-hmm, I fill that in with the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Or I'm real honest sometimes where I'm like, hey, I miss you guys. I feel like, you know, y'all are over doing your thing. So they work together and I don't work with them. And so it could be easy for me to be like, oh, I'm left out.
Yeah.
And be hurt over here. But instead, I loop them in and I'm like, I love you guys. I love what y'all are doing. Sometimes I wish I could run with y'all the way that y'all are running together, but I love y'all. And I'm so glad at what God's called y'all to do. And so that's what it's looked like. It's looked like texting each other, trying to meet consistently. Sometimes it's weekly, sometimes it's monthly. Sometimes it's, we catch up on, you know, voice message. We use that a lot. But really knowing how to pray for one another, praying for one another, checking in, how are you doing? What's going on? Really knowing what's going on in their life. And that's just been built over years.
Yeah.
So we have like what I hear people call institutional knowledge, when you just know, you have life experience knowledge where you know about things that's happened because you lived through them together.
Yeah.
And you know, family dynamics, you know, not just, you know, the core family, but the next ring out, the in-laws, the parents, all that. So that's how it's been forged over like decades, almost decades now.
There's something about fresh air and trees and being outside that's really replenishing for me. And yet, I think I spend 90% of my time indoors in front of a screen, at my desk, above my garage, or up at the office at the Village Church. And so I was excited when Air Doctor, which is like this award-winning air purifier that really eliminates like 99.99% of all kind of allergens and viruses and smoke and mold and all that stuff that's in the air. They were actually voted best air purifier by Newsweek. 98% of Air Doctor customers agree that when they plug these things in, the home feels cleaner and healthier. And so Air Doctor Pro is sponsoring this episode of The Overcomers. And if you will go, you will get $300 off today. Comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee plus a 3-year warranty. I think that's like an $84, $85 value. And so you can go to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use the promo code Overcomers for $300 off any of their Air Doctor air purifiers. And so got one plugged in here. Love what it's done to my office. It has changed kind of the feel of things in my office. And so airdoctorpro.com, use the promo code Overcomers. That's the thing I always trying to emphasize when people ask me questions like about the guys.
Yeah.
I'm just like, listen, you are looking at 20 years of building.
Mm-hmm.
It would have looked completely different to your eyes 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It would look completely different.
Oh, yeah.
There are these moments where the weaving of the tapestry happened much faster. Like if I think of 09, I think about the cancer.
Yeah.
I think about those guys driving me down to radiation. I think of them weeping with us. I think of them helping in any way they could. That's a unique season where, man, we grew together more closely, and each one of them have had seasons, not just a physical ailment, but a spiritual hardship, a heartbreaking scenario. And then it was my turn to be on deck. Yeah. It's that shield to shield adage that we use so frequently. Me and my guys are like, shield to shield. This is okay. My shield. I've got you. Oh, day of trouble. I'm there. Yeah. My friend Kyle calls it a 3 a.m. friend.
Hmm.
Everybody has a guy that'll come over at 6 p.m. Do you have somebody that, like, at 3 a.m., they're going to wake up, get dressed, and head to your house?
Yeah.
And nobody finds a 3 a.m. friend in a year.
No.
It's forged. And sometimes it's formed because they come over at 3 a.m. and become that friend.
Right. Right.
And so that's where, if you're watching this now, here's how I would encourage you. One, I would take stock in your closest friendships right now. Are those friendships in line with your heart's deepest desire? So if your heart's deepest desire is the kingdom of God, intimately knowing Jesus, sharing in the mission of God, growing in holiness, are your closest friends helping with that? Are they an encouragement in that? If not, I think you've got to do some wrestling. I think you've got to create some distance. And then I think you have to find people that's what they're doing in your life. Like my guys, I was with my guys this morning, already came out of that more hungry for holiness, more serious about the things of God, more desirous to be the kind of man that God calls me to in the scriptures. That's what you want and need in life. They will help you become the kind of man, the kind of woman that God's calling you to. And so, Elsie, anything else you want to add on this conversation?
Yeah, I think I'd like to ask one more question that maybe they're thinking.
Yeah.
So what do you do with the friends? You know, you don't want to just like peace out on friends.
No, yeah.
And you don't want to be like a holy huddle.
No.
So what, flesh that out a little bit.
Yeah, what I'm going to do if I wake up and I see, oh, these friends, they're not leading me toward what I'm really wanting. If I've got some history, which most people are, what I'm going to do is invite them into the journey with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with them and say, hey, I the Holy Spirit's birthing something in me right now. I just want more. I want more in my walk. I'm not sharing the gospel like I want to share the gospel. I don't feel like I know the Bible like I want to know the Bible. I don't, and I know I'm going to need accountability and encouragement if I'm going to step into what God's calling me to.
Yeah.
This group for me is a lot of fun. Love you guys, but it's not that. And I need that. And I want to start here. Can you guys be that? Can we figure out how to do that together? I don't think I'm an expert on it, but I would love to try that with you guys and then see how that goes.
Good.
If they're uninterested in that, then that's like they just get bumped out a layer, layer, right? If you think of like a bullseye, even if we think about Jesus, Jesus has his 3, then he has his 12, then he has his 72, then he has his right.
Yep.
So who are the 3? And then if the guys you're running with now or the ladies you're running with right now, you extend that invitation and that's not really what they're after or what they want to. Great. Boom. They're just now in the 12.
Yeah.
Now let's find the 3.
Yeah.
So it's not like I need to break up with you.
Yeah.
Jesus is asking me to break up with you.
No.
It's more, I need, God's calling me into this. I need you to help me get there. I want to help you get there. Yeah. What's it look like for us collectively to be more serious about the things of God?
Yeah, it's like a like-mindedness. It's almost like a two-legged race. If you're like, I'm trying, or a three-legged, two-legged race.
I think most races are two-legged.
Three-legged race where, yeah. You know, if you're tied to someone and you're like, no, we're going this way. And they're like, well, I just want to keep going that way.
It goes bad.
It goes bad. So yeah, that's helpful.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
Anything you want to say to people, or are you good?
I'm good. I was just wondering about that last part. I knew how you would answer, but I wanted you to answer it.
Did you? Fun. One flesh.
For you viewers.
Hashtag. One flesh. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us for Between Sundays with the Chandlers.
The Chandlers. This is fun.
There it is. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Overcomers. I just pray your heart is always encouraged in the Lord. Really, the ministry I feel God's called me to in this season is to be one that's encouraging you, telling you the Lord sees you, reminding you of the opportunities that we have as the people of God in this day. And so The Overcomers podcast is one of the ways I do that. Another way is that I'm sending out a monthly newsletter. And in that, I've got a little audio link for kind of things I'm thinking about and wrestling through that I'm not necessarily preaching on. And so in the show notes is a link where you can go and sign up for that monthly email. And so, man, if The Overcomers is encouraging you, I would encourage you then to click on that link, sign up for the newsletter. And it's a way for me to further encourage you as you seek to live as overcomers in this current moment.